Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie. You know, we know it. It reminded me of the song "Help," you know, by the Beatles. It just goes on and says, "Help, help, 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 help." Yeah, well, I need help. Yeah, but it's an interesting song. And hi, sweetheart. Boy, you look nice today. You sound good. I'm sorry. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Welcome, Texas. Man, there's a lot of you here. What are you doing? Ah, wow. Welcome to Bay Cities. Yeah, wow. How cool is this? But in that song, it was about Billy the Kid, and he was wanted dead or alive, and that's how they used to do it. And Pat Garrett was a sheriff, and he, in the movie, well, we're talking about movies, right? You have to be a little bit older to remember this, probably, but he died, and it was very sad, and the song was a metaphor for the dangers and the uncertainties of life. And he was flying home, Dylan was, and he wanted to capture the feeling of impending doom and of the issue of death. And so you're going to see this come full circle in the message, I hope. You know, I always play a song that hopefully has a bit of truth in it. But today's theme is available. And there's a lot of things, as we're going to see in the first part of the message, that are available to us. And you already know this, so I'm not going to fill you in on a whole lot there, but it's a big deal, and you'll see it. Now, one mom tells a story while driving to church on Easter Sunday a couple years back. She told her children the Easter story, and she did it as effectively as she could, you know, in her own way, about Jesus and how he came and all that stuff, and born of a virgin and all that good stuff. And she said at the end, "This is the day we celebrate Jesus coming back to life," she explained to her kids. And right away, the three-year-old son, Kevin, piped up and says, "Will he be in church today?" And you know, I'm actually hoping that Jesus shows up in some way, not physically, but that your heart gets touched. It's very interesting being in a worship service of sorts, many different kinds. Some are louder. I'm not a guy who cares for people that are yelling at me, but it's done with emphasis a lot of times. But I like to reason through the scriptures. I like to make us think. I like the thought of we go home and we have to think about what we heard today. At least that's my passion, as you know. So let's pray as we begin. So bow your heads with me if you would. Lord, thank you that we can be here. Thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us, for all that you have accomplished, whether we understand it or not. And we just want to thank you for that. And Easter is our day of celebration of what it means to know you and that we can be safe no matter what. And thank you, Jesus, for being the one who brings that into our life, the only one. And boy, it changes everything. And we appreciate that, Jesus, so, so much. It's you alone that can make us okay no matter what happens this day. And I just pray that you'd touch us today, each of us, wherever we're at, that somehow the truth of the Jesus message would break through, that we would feel it, that we would understand it in new and fresh ways, and that it would make a difference in our life. Thank you for each man, woman, and child that's in this room. And may you bless them and touch them this day. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room, into our lives, into our marriages, into our families. And we pray, Lord, if a kid or two might be wandering, that you would bring them back to yourself, that you would touch their lives wherever they're at, whatever their age is, that they might see how good it is, that you might bring a friend into their life to let them know how good it is to know you. So bless us today. Thanks for this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We never leave those wandering kids behind, you know. We always try to go after them. So the message today is that much is available. And you already know that. You experience it in your life regularly. I'd say at least, 98%. Maybe I can almost say 100. But you live with a computer in your pocket. Do you know what this thing can do? I know you know. And many of us are on Instagram way too much, but that's okay. makes us laugh, makes us smile, right? It entertains us and it informs us in some ways. But this thing is just, it's amazing when you stop and think about what it can do. I mean, I can say something today and you can Google me to see if it's true. And I don't really appreciate that, but no, I don't care. But that's just a small thing that is just mind-blowing if you kind of play it out. It's surreal. It's unbelievable. And the truth is, number one there in your notes to keep us on track here, is that life is full of options and choices. It just is. So much is available to us. And I'm just going to run through some basic things that you pretty much would all agree with. But number one here is in our career paths, our jobs, our workaday world, whatever you call it. There are so many different options that we can do, especially when we're young. When we're older, my life's pretty much behind me. I mean, I get to just hopefully finish well as I've gone past, way past the midpoint. But when it comes to work or career, when you're young, and I've tried to learn, being a youth pastor, not to ask the question, what do you want to do when you grow up, or any version of that, because they can't stand it. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Learn to say something different. What things do you think about when you think about the future? That's more open, you know, if you want to. But if somebody doesn't want to go there, leave them alone. I mean, some people want to go down your rabbit trail with you, and you may be a person who wants to know their story, and they may not want to tell your story. Leave them alone if they don't want to. But I always want to be open to that. But lots of different possibilities. Some enjoy the cubicle. You know, I'm a guy that's built, you put me in a cubicle, and I shrink. I die. I just go, get a gun, shoot me quick. And I'm, the cubicle thing with the pictures. And I just go, where's my car? It's got to be time for lunch. I'm just not a cubicle guy. I'm just not a cubicle guy. I want to be out. I want to be alive. I want to be moving. And in the cubicle, it's a little bit like prison. No offense, if you like the cubicle, stay there. But some of us, not so much. But you know, we've all got these options, and they're myriad, so many. Number two, in our relational choices, or our relational world. I mean, it's big. I think back. Of course, we're all built different. I always talk about my wife. She's a complete opposite of me. And I'm so glad, because I would never want to be married to a female Jim McKinga. It'd drive me crazy. I pray for her to not go crazy. She has to live with me. It's sometimes awful, but it's fun. It's fun, I think. But, you know, we're all different. It's fascinating the way God does that, you know. It just is. But we can move through life alone if you choose. You can make any decision you want. We get to choose. We can choose to a mate and be committed for life. Now, 50% of the time it doesn't work out. I don't want to highlight that today, but then we wait a few years and we choose another mate. and hopefully that's the end, you know. I know a lot of people that are in their second marriages, and it's their best because they lived with, I don't know what term you want to apply before. Not that I'm picking on anybody here, but that's reality, you know. It's the way it is. And I'm a guy who does, I don't want to be alone. I don't mind being alone. Kind of enjoy it every once in a while. And as I've told you before, my wife has this look every once in a while, because my life's not like yours during the week. I'm working right now. I'm actually working. But I get up in the morning, and my wife can have a look on her face at 9 o'clock in the morning, 8:30. And I go, you know, I don't think I should be here today. She doesn't say anything. She did not say anything. I'm serious. Doesn't say one word. And she just wants to be alone in her home. And I have nowhere to go or nothing to do. And Bob, I leave. I just leave. She doesn't ask me. She'd never say, Jim, could you get out of the house? She'd never say that to me. But there is a look. And I don't even know what it looks like. But I know it when I see it. And I go find a place to go and enjoy myself. Take my computer and my phone, and I'm good, you know, or go to lunch with somebody. I don't. Maybe that's too much. I did not ask permission for that. But some of us have a number of friends. Some of us have fewer. Some of us have been burned in our life with friends, and we've got to deal with that. Do we trust again? You know, all that stuff. Some want a family. Some not so much. I got enough. Nobody in their right mind really would have five children. That's a lot. But some, again, are the life of the party and some are the opposite. But we have relational worlds. And how much do you go back in the past? How often do you to reach back and all that stuff? In our educational opportunities, traditionally in our world, it's been that it's frowned on to not go to college. There's just something about that in our culture. And not as much today. Elon Musk's of the world say, you don't have to go to college to work at Tesla. You know, you got to be good at something, but you don't have to go to work. You don't have to go to college. Sometimes college messes people up. It gets them in trouble. Sometimes it takes them far if they have a passion about something. Some say college is all about learning how to be a critical thinker. Okay, all right. I say just live and work hard, and you will have to critically think to stay alive. But so many available options out and about. Big colleges, and I always think of expensive, and I always think of if that 50 grand a year or 70 grand a year, whatever the heck it is now, I'm done. I'm very done with college stuff. But with my kids. But if that would have been put in the right account and compounded over the years, that would have been enough for them to retire. But that's another story. Junior college, cheaper. El Camino, right here, El Camino. Yeah. Proud graduate of El Camino College. And I only went there because I got to play volleyball. So there you go. I got C's, though, pretty much. And trade schools, you know, get a job. They say if a young man becomes an electrician and works for 4 years as an apprentice and learns the trade, that he's got money for life because there's people don't want to do it anymore. And another way is a plumber. It's just the stuff you have to clean up is a little tough unless you're the boss. So the military, a gap year sounds good, but that's only a year. Yeah, but there's all these opportunities. Number four there in our health and fitness. I'm just talking about normal life here. And lots of opinions here, right? Out and about, all over the place. What to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, how long to fast, just all kinds of stuff you can hear. And everybody thinks they're right. How much to work out, but not too much. You don't want to go overboard, right, here. And lots of cardio or lots of resistance training. What do you think here? 20, 80, 70, you know, yeah, everybody's got their opinion. And the guy that looks the best, you want to listen to him, right? Big pharma, processed foods, all this stuff coming at us, you know, seed oils and just stuff. Veggies only or carnivore or another flavor of diet. But it's all coming at us. And, you know, y'all want to do your best. I've chosen, you know, nobody wants your advice. Guess what? Unless they ask. When were you last asked for your advice? So it's just over. You just sit back and wait, and nobody asks. It's a fascinating life, especially our kids. But number five, our investment life. Am I a saver or a spender? I'll never forget my son 6 months ago. He said, Dad, look, I know I have to make a lot of money because I'm a spender. I'm just a spender. And I go, okay. Well, it's hard to outdistance being a spender, but you got to balance that. You know, but it was a fun conversation. But, you know, at least he's not in denial. But what do I like to do? What am I good at? What is it? And what can I afford? I've gone ahead of investments to hobbies. I'll get back there. But two incomes or one? And somebody said last, are you kidding? One income just doesn't get done anymore. You know, it just doesn't happen. Do I have a financial advisor or do I do it myself? What's the smartest thing to do? Do I like property? Do I like stock? Do I like crypto? Do I like gold? Do I like something else? Do I buy collectibles and hold them? What do I do when it comes to investments? Investments matter. Your future matters. There might not be anybody to take care of you. You know, I want to be able to take care of myself. Do I understand the power of compounding? It's something I always talk about. Compounding is such a powerful. The younger you are, the better you know about compounding, and you begin to apply it. It's a powerful thing. It's incredible when you do it. Am I generous or am I a bit stingy? Who am I? Well, you know, savers. You know, you don't want to be Scrooge. You know, because my business is people, not just loading coins up. But at the same time, there's got to be some frugality if you're going to have some at the end. And the Bible blesses the man who people inherit from his family to their kids and their kids. So he wants us to not spend everything on us. Big questions. Speaking of options and choices in our hobbies and personal interests. What are they? What are they? What do I like to do? What am I good at? What can I afford? Is my hobby physically risky? What if I can't work for 6 months? These are all options, choices. All this is available to us. And you know what? You live it. I'm just trying to highlight it and touch base with it. In our future dreams and passions, what are my real dreams in life? What are they? What matters to me? What you think about, ponder, see as a possibility is a big deal. With my skill set, because you got, am I reasonable with my dreams? And you say, oh, Jim, we're talking about dreams. We're talking about reaching. Okay, no, I'm in. But am I delusional as well? Am I playing make-believe? Like, the Lakers aren't going to call me to assist them in the playoffs. No. No reason to be delusional. When somebody gets there, I go, interesting. But what things can I imagine for the future? These are all things, this is living life. This is what we do. What is it that I really love in life? If you took a piece of paper and you sat down for a half hour by yourself and go, what do I love right now? Not 2 years ago, I want to love in 5 years, but what do I love? And how can I do more of that, make that beneficial? And there's some interesting thoughts there. What gets me out of bed in the morning? And then number eight, and for today, this won't be a surprise, but how about number eight, in our spiritual life? And when we use the word spiritual, it's a fascinating word that kind of encompasses a life, but to have one or not have one, a spiritual life, if we call it that, in a generic way. For us, it certainly is a little more clarified, but do I have a plan with this part of my life? And I'm talking about you, me. Do I have a plan, or do I just want to play out? Okay, Jim, I'm into the Jesus you're into. I just want to play out. But I have a plan with it. What, you know, if you want to accomplish anything in any of those other categories, you pretty much want to have a plan. Am I defined in what I believe? Do I know, by way of thinking and processing and learning some stuff along the way, do I know what I believe? Am I moving ahead in that area in my life? Just add little tidbits, baby steps. Or just kind of hoping it moves in a right way, trajectory, if you will. My spiritual life, just another part of life. If someone asks me on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock in my marketplace endeavor, they ask me, they come up to me and they say, hey, Jim, I want to talk to you. And I'm putting your name in there, and it's at your place in your world, somebody you know, and they say, hey, I heard something Easter Sunday, and would you tell me about your spiritual life? Do you have one? What words would you say at that point? What would you say? If then they went, well, no, wait a minute. What is it that you believe? Tell me what you believe about your spirit. What is it that makes it a spiritual life? What is it? Now, nobody's going to do this. I get that, because nobody wants to be confronted about it. Nobody wants you to turn on it. Well, what do you believe? And then begin to be some kind of Bible teacher at that point. But is what you believe important to you? Think of the conversation that you know, nobody wants to talk about politics or religion, right? But what if they asked you? What would you say? What if they said, hey, Jim, what difference does it make in your life? Does it add something to your life? Do you have to, like, give money because you go to church? Does it take something from you? Does it? And if they said, they kind of ended up, You know, how does your spiritual life benefit you? Is it something that you go to when there's tragedy? When somebody dies? When somebody gets sick, you become a person who now prays? Well, what's it look like? And there's lots that's available out there. And I think maybe in our spiritual life, we are not as defined, generally speaking, as we ought to be. And if we were or became that, then something good would result. That's my thinking anyway. And number one, there are your notes to take off at this point. So obviously, life is full of options and choices. And the message of Easter is that Jesus is available to everyone. Period. He really is. Check this out. Jesus is talking to Nick, and Nick is Nicodemus. It's just short for Nicodemus for me. And Nicodemus is a Pharisee that comes to Jesus at nighttime, okay? So I don't know how this appointment was set up. I don't know if they used iPhones. I don't think so. Or they, you know, maybe talked to Peter or some other of the disciples and said, hey, I need 15 minutes with Jesus, or an hour or whatever. I need an appointment. It needs to be private, obviously. You know who I am. And it wouldn't go well for me if they saw that I wanted a private meeting with Jesus. I wanted to ask him some questions about this idea of being born again. That's John chapter 3. We're going to have some of the classic passages that are in the Bible. And Jesus is filling him in on what's real, all right? Let's pick it up in verse 17 there in your notes. John chapter 3, verse 17. Nick and Jesus chatting by night in a garden somewhere, okay? For God did not send, Jesus says, talking about himself, his son into the world. Jesus really did become man, and he really did join us on earth, which is more the Christmas story than Easter. But this is the completion of the Christmas story and the Jesus message being Easter. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. So many people think God is mean and angry and revengeful. That is not who God is. God is a God of love. You have to figure him out, because if you're on the wrong side of faith, it isn't good. And the end result isn't what you want at all, for you or for anybody that you know or love. That's why we want to touch the lives of others. We can't demand that they believe. If we could and it happened, we would. But we want to woo them. We want to win them. We want to convince them. We want them to think on their own and reason with who Jesus is. I would say, wait a minute. This is free? I can live forever because of this guy? And a lot of people go, I just can't ever believe that. Well, give yourself some time. Give me a year. Just come on Sunday for a year. And maybe Jesus will get you, or find another guy you'll listen to, or whatever. But he says Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. That's not his mission. That's not what he came for. This is a big deal to Nick. You got to understand who he is. He's a Pharisee. And what the Jewish leaders of the day wanted, they wanted a Messiah to come and destroy Rome. He wanted them to wipe them out, just like he did in the Old Testament for the Jews of old, and gave them their land, and that's what they wanted. They didn't want a suffering Messiah, a Messiah that was going to love Gentiles and graft them in with the children of Israel. They didn't want that. He said he didn't come to condemn the world, but here's what he did come to do. Now listen to this, to save the world through him. So he wanted to save the world, not condemn it, not destroy it, not tell it how bad it was, but to save it, literally to protect it, to make it safe. God's offer of love and salvation extends to all people, not just Israel. And that would have been interesting and bothered Nick, because they were concerned about themselves. And you understand that, being a human. You're selfish. I'm not saying you're over the top selfish, but we're all selfish. And the more we can rein that in, and certainly care for ourselves, have time for ourselves. But the moment we become servants And we realize why Jesus really enters our life, and we become kind to other people that aren't kind to the best of our ability. It's the greatest drug on the planet of satisfaction and contentment. When you can love people that don't love you, and you're free to do that, and you can forgive somebody that literally has said or done something wrong to you, you don't like the wrong that they did. But you don't have to fix everybody. You get to live free. You get to live a good human being as Jesus was. 100% man, 100% God. I'm getting lost here, and this could be way too long if I do. I got to stop that. So Jesus came to save the world, the whole world. He's available. That's what he is. That's why he came. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And Jesus tells us through Paul in Romans 10:9, he kind of tells us how. I just want to highlight this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord. So what I'm going to ask you to do, each and every one of you, before the sun goes down, if you can, I want you to tell somebody you love, not now, but before the sun goes down today, I want you to look eyeball to eyeball to somebody. And I want you to say that, Carla, Jesus is my Lord. I just want you to say that, if you can. Now, if you can't, I accept that, but I want to win you to a place where you can get to a place where you say, you know what? I want Jesus to be my Lord. He may not be yet, but I want him. I want him. I want him. This stuff sounds so cool. I want him. Carla started crying as I said that to her. It was amazing. So if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and he goes further, and this is the idea of out loud, that you say, I just told Carla and all of you, I need Jesus. That's what I'm doing. It's humble. I need him. I'm not okay without him. That's a decision. And when you figure that out, you go, why would I live without him? What good would that be? I'd be wasting stuff. And he goes on, he says, and believes in your heart. This sort of gets to a bigger decision, if you will. I speak with my mind. Jesus is my Lord. I've decided that, certainly. But here, there's a heart part that is laid out that I believe in my heart. I believe what? That God raised him from the dead. This is Easter. Part of the salvation process is I've got to buy Easter. I wasn't there. I can't redo it. I can't ever raise somebody from the dead. I'm not that good. I'm not Jesus. And just ask Sandy, I prove that regularly. Regularly. If you do that, you'll be saved. That is as clear as day to me. I mean it's right there. Pretty clear presentation, I'd say, that Jesus gave us through Paul. John 14:27, he repeats, it's on the screen, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Why he came? His purpose. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. What is somebody that's lost? It's a man or woman, a person who recognizes that they're without something, that they need help, that they need help. Can you do that? Can you say, I want a little help from God? Luke 5:32 on the screen, I have not come to call the righteous, Jesus says. Who's the righteous? Well, this is really speaking of a self-righteous person. God can't help people who have it all together, who recognize that they are special, man. I can take care of everything. This would be the height of arrogance. He says, I haven't come to call the righteous. I just leave them alone. I just let them be. They're not going to listen to me anyway. But sinners to repentance. Do you have a little bit of a mess in your past? Do you have some shady stuff? I'm just messing with you. You worldly people. Oh, it's good to have fun, huh? How you doing, man? It's good to see you. I love Easter. You see old friends. And Christmas sometimes, too. I don't care. I just like seeing them. So You don't need to see my laundry list, but I got plenty. I got plenty. And I don't, you know, I'm sorry about all of it as a package, but I'm so forgiven. God has said so over and over again that my past, whatever was there that you're not going to hear about, I'm free of it. It really is too good to be true. And it's a great thing to know and understand. It's beautiful stuff. But sinners to repentance, he's the one who can bring forgiveness and acceptance back to us. Even though you got that messy stuff. Messy. It's like God has this huge eraser. And he just, when he forgives, the Bible talks about he forgets. He makes it right again, you. And I love that. So number one, life is full of options and choices. You know that. Number two, Jesus is available to everyone. Everyone. Number three, his availability can move to connection. Now, it doesn't have to, but because he's available, if you will, you can move to this thing I'm calling connection today. And this is for everyone. Number one there, the door to his availability can be opened. Because there's a door to get into Jesus. And the truth is of life is he's not going to force you through there. He's not going to push you, you know, like the tush push for Philly. You know, and they were thinking about saying you can't do it, and they just can't, they want to keep it a little bit of football where you hit each other. And you know, but there's a tush push. He's not going to tush push you into heaven. I've never said that before in my life. But it makes sense to me. He's just not. No, check it out, Matthew 7:7. To ask implies humility, because you want to know something, you want help, you want something. And admit you have a need, that's why you ask, right? Ask and it will be given to you. And what Jesus is saying here is if you'll ask, I'll respond. But you got to ask. And the real idea here is he hears us and he cares, but he'll never force you or me. You'll never be forced to obey. You might get spanked a little by God if you're one of his kids. Back into, come on, Jim. And you know you're not supposed to be doing that. Cool it, Jim. He's got his own version of spankings. And they can happen. I don't deny that. And you ought to learn to welcome the discipline of God. Oh, that's another subject. And it will be given to you. And then he goes on to say, ask. And then he says, seek. And seek is to pursue or to strive for, to lean forward towards. It's asking plus action, right? It implies being sincere, maybe even with a little intensity, and you will find. So if I ask and I seek, I'll find something. It's kind of like a treasure hunt. I'll find it. We'll get our answer in time if we're seriously asking and seriously seeking something. May not be the answer we want, but we'll find it. And then he goes on to say, next level, if you will, knock. To knock is to ask plus something, a noise. I mean, a knock is loud. Seeking is like emotional, and I'm moving, I'm thinking, I'm strategizing, but knocking has some. Thursday night, we were in the desert, and my friend Ben Myers and his son, Ben Jr., who grew up in this church, a complete stud, complete and radical stud that I can't talk about because you have to come kill me. He's in your family, Bob. And so he was there for the week, so we got to hang out. It was so cool. He can't tell me very much, but what he can tell me, I'm so proud of him. My wife comes to the door. I don't mean to pick on her today, but I'm just telling the truth, and she would admit it. She comes out the door. It's got this glass in it, you know, door. And she goes, and I go, what are you doing? What? You're pounding on the door. And I said, you know, I said, you just did that like the FBI was here. And Ben answers the door, yeah. And I just said, sorry. You know, I was just teasing her. But she, I think it, we were going to dinner, and she was hungry. She wanted to get in the room. She wanted to get in the room. And I was with her, by the way. So he says, knock, and look what he says. And the door that was previously closed, knock, it will be open to you. Something will take place. Movement will happen. And he's not just talking about asking a question and seeking after something and knocking on a door. He's building a thought process here. You need to do this inside of you towards Jesus. And when you do it, it's going to happen. Knocking is physical and noisy. This is not a casual progression. It's starting something, and it's hunting when you're seeking, and then it's doing something and making your presence known. And Jesus says, keep on doing this. Spend your life doing this. Be hungry. Verse 8 goes on, for everyone, and kind of summarizes things here. It's open to everyone. For everyone who asks receives. Askers are heard and rewarded. That's what they are. But see, if you don't know that Jesus is available, why would you ask or seek or knock? That's all I want to convince you of, that Jesus is available to every one of us human beings, not just here, but up and down these streets and around where we live. And I know most of them don't want to hear it. I get it. But you're here, and you're going to hear it. He's available a whole lot more oftentimes than we understand. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds. Seekers find what they want when they're aimed at him. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. They get movement. The picture is that we ought to do this in an ongoing way in our life. The message is, don't give up easy. Don't get lazy with this. Find somebody in your family, in your safe harbor, and look at them eyeball to eyeball and tell them, Jesus is my Lord today. For you, not them. If you can't say that, there's probably a reason why you can't. And don't just get in the car and go, hey, Jesus is my Lord, and go on. Look at their eyes. Trying to make it hard for you. Number two, he's available to those who seek him. Same idea. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you seek me, and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So it's a little prerequisite here, but the idea of this verse is when you come looking for me, God is saying, we'll find him, but you got to be looking for him. Now I'm trying to, again, bait the hook. Not knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door, but I want to get you ready for that knock, knock one day. If we're serious about finding him, we won't be disappointed. That's what he's saying. And half-heartedness doesn't work. And this is our biggest problem. The world wants our heart. Things and people in the world, they want it. They want to own it. They want our time, our energy. And you got to make a decision. Half-heartedness doesn't work here. It won't get it done. It doesn't accomplish the goal. So that the wholeness of your heart, whatever that is, you need to love God and then love others around you. And those the closest, love them the most. You won't be disappointed when you do. And number three, seeking God is good for us and others. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on his beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple. And the whole idea here is to make our relationship with God top priority in our life. When we do that, Jesus is more important to me than Sandy is. And sometimes people go, ugh, it's your wife? Yes. Yes. If she asks me to do something that God doesn't want me to do, I'm not doing it. Sorry. Like she wants to mess around with some cocaine this afternoon on Easter. Whatever that is. Mess around, is that the wrong way to say it? Yeah. I'm not doing it. I knew that would light you up. You're so easy. I'm not doing it. You know, I joke about it. I don't have a lot of requirements in marriage or expectations, but one is, Sandy, don't get a boyfriend, okay? Deal? Yeah. You're all good with that, right? Yeah. Good. Thank you. Okay. Proverbs 8:17, you're not going to remember anything about Easter or Resurrection Sunday. The pastor said, my wife has no idea how to spell the word drug. Okay, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Listen to God. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. There's your answer. Number four and last, Jesus offers hope beyond my grave. Now, I put my there for a reason. Some people hate talking about death, and I understand that. I do. I've just had to deal with it my whole life professionally, and even when I was young, because my parents were 40 when I was born, so I was going to funerals early and often, you know, because I had an older family, and it's just a reality of age. But death, as they sang today, has no sting when you know Jesus. Otherwise, it's got a lot of sting. It's the sting. It's awful. But if you got to understand, Easter has covered my grave. I'm not talking about yours. I am generically, but it's about my grave, and you can use your grave. This is Easter. This is what it solves. Your husband is in heaven right now. I know it. I was his pastor for 15 years or whatever it was. And he had a horrible death. I feel so sorry for you and your son so often. Yet I know where he is, and so do you. And he wasn't perfect, and neither am I. You know, to be able to say that in a room, I didn't ask her permission, just like I did. I may be in so much trouble with her and my wife. I have no idea. But she knows. She knows. This is what everyone wants and needs. A lot of times we just sugarcoat it or just go, I don't want to think about it. This is the good news part of Jesus. We often talk about salvation or be saved, or your grave is taken care of no matter when it happens. Number one, I can live even after I experience death. This is everything. I get to give this away regularly, different ways, try to cause people to think about it, ponder it, move their life towards Jesus because of it. It's really fun. It's cool. John writes out his purpose for his letter in 1 John 5:13, why he wrote it. Big book, little book, but powerful book. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So you're already in the game. You're in it. You believe. So that you may know. What does that mean? So that you can be sure of, be certain of this one thing. Back to if a person asks you at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? That you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you're going to get eternal life when you get really sick and some kind of desperation is going to happen. An angel is going to come visit you and give you heaven and eternal life. No, it's already there. This is why we trust Jesus. This is why you want to be able to say to somebody, eyeball to eyeball, that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I'm not kidding. You don't have to tell all your neighbors, but if you want to have some fun today. No, I'm just kidding. Whoa, that church was good today, huh? Let's go on. Verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. See, he becomes, I don't want to just say friend casually, but he becomes our everything. We're able to go to him always and often. We trust him that if we ask anything according to his will, we want God's will more than we want our own. He hears us. We're always heard. Just to be heard is an absolutely wonderful thing. John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth. On the screen, Jesus identifies who gets eternal life. I tell you the truth, Jesus' words. Whoever hears my word, the message of who he is and what he did. So many refuse to listen. They just do, sadly. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, God the Father, sent his son with a purpose, has eternal life. They own it. They possess it now and will not be condemned. They're free from any kind of future judgment by God. Why? Because of Jesus and him alone. So many parts of, they call themselves Christianity, want you to work to have this kind of confidence. And they want you to have certain experiences with the bread and the cup, that's what continues it. And it's not true. It's not true. What's true is you announce with your voice that he's your Lord and believe in your heart that God Almighty raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. Doesn't have any additions there. We possess eternal life right now. A man flew into Chicago and hired a taxi to take him downtown. As he was riding along, they came to a red light, and the driver went right through on the light, just right through it, hard, fast. The man said, hey, the light was red. You're supposed to stop. The driver said, yeah, I know, but my brother does it all the time. Soon they came to a second red light, and again he went right straight through, and the passenger said, you're going to get us killed. That light was red. Why didn't you stop? The driver said, don't worry about it. My brother does it all the time. All the time. They then came to a green light, and he stops. The passenger just dumbfounded. Man says, the light's green. Now is the time to go. Why don't you go on through? Driver says, I know it's green, but you never know when my brother might be coming through. All of Chicago, my brother. Illustrator goes on, sometimes it seems as if the world is going through on red and stopping on green. We're constantly trying things that don't work. Let's move to something that works. The Jesus message works. It will change you. It will make you safe. It will take you to where you want to go. And all those that love you, love him. The Jesus message works. He changes everything. Number two, I can have real confidence in heaven. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth. It's what God brings to us when we trust him. Into a living hope, a hope that's alive. You can live with hope every day, every day, every day. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is Easter. It fills me with hope. You know, we love Easter as guys that do this job. I mean, come on. It's easy. The room's full. It's wonderful. And some of you aren't going to come back next week. I'm trying to get you to come back next week. But it's Resurrection Sunday every Sunday and every Monday and every Tuesday and every Wednesday and so on. This is what matters. Nothing matters more than this. If you're going to get another tattoo, because when you get the first one, you're always thinking, what am I getting next? That's part of tattoo world. Okay? It's true, huh? Yeah. Put the resurrection is more important than anything. That's the truth. Sandy, it may be time. Oh. And into an inheritance. Check this out. That can never perish. The idea of perish is subject to destruction. Or fade. It will never wither like a flower. Kept in heaven for you. God takes care of all of this. It's not our problem. My issue is, do I believe in Jesus or not? And the answer is, yes, I do. God will take care of all that. Now, should I obey him? Yeah, I want my life to go well. If I disobey him, see, I could... You can't stop me from robbing a bank Monday afternoon because I'm a little bit broke. You can't. I will suffer consequences if I do that. I might die if I have a gun, and I probably won't succeed. I mean, I am smart. I'd be a decent criminal. But I don't want the consequences. Do you hear me? So I'm not doing it. And it's wrong. And you know, God gives you a sobriety there that is a wonderful thing to live with. Cannot perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. I got God's power everywhere in my life. I don't have to worry unless I choose to move human. I don't have to worry. Power. until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Death is the great emotional equalizer in life. And when you got answers, it's great. Number three, I can remain positive even in difficulty. This is really powerful. Oh my gosh. I can remain positive. What do I mean? Well, look at the verse there. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, with that in mind, we do not lose heart. We have the capacity to stand true in major challenges that non-believers do not have. They may have a lot of character and a lot of experience, but we don't lose heart. And humans are tempted to become weak, though outwardly we are wasting away. You know what that is? That's growing old. And those of us that are old, we are fully aware of it because it happens, the body and the flesh. We are wasting away, yet inwardly are being renewed. Jesus is absolutely alive, especially in people that have walked with him and talked with him and befriended him for 4 or 5 or 6 decades. And when somebody hasn't, they're so different than people that have. And it's real sad. Yet inwardly are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, and they're here, there's pain in life, I get it, difficulty, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We fix our eyes on what is seen, not unseen. And what is unseen is Jesus himself. I can't get him in the room to show up physically. It's not the plan. I think we're going to stop right there. Let me close with this, my last illustration. It's getting late. I'm pulling an Easter thing on you and going past noon, which is crazy. A wealthy businessman who was well known for being ruthless and unethical told Mark Twain a long time ago that before he died, he wanted to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He said that when he got there, he wanted to climb to the top of Mount Sinai where Moses received the Ten Commandments and there read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top. He wanted to go there. I have a better idea, replied Mr. Twain in his typical wit. You could stay in Boston and keep them. How about that? I believe that Jesus would have preferred that he stay in Boston and keep the commandments as well. Care about what God has said. But we always prefer some great religious experience to the routine of obedience. The routine. We would like some mountaintop emotion rather than actually showing the evidence of a changed life. I have known many people over the years who talked a lot about some spiritual encounter they have had, but never showed much evidence when it came to the way they lived, their ethics and their manner in which they treated other people. That's what matters, folks. And Jesus will take you there if you let him. Let's pray, huh? Lord, thank you that we can be together in this room, that we can try to understand not only who you are and what you've done, but how we can be in close relationship with you. And I pray for that for each one of us, that somehow you would help us get there no matter what in our life, that we would seek that we'd ask for that we'd knock hard for that you, Jesus, could be the most important thing in our life, and that the blessings of peace and joy and confidence would flow from that. And may it be so in each of our lives. Thank you that men, women, boys and girls want to listen to good stuff. May you bless them for it. Give us a great day, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go.
Well, Mama, take this badge off of me. Because I can't use it anymore. Getting dark, too dark to see.